Embrace the Word for Monday, May 11, 2026. Embracing Psalm 61. Psalm 61 is a plea for safety and security. The superscription does not provide a specific historical context. To the choirmaster with stringed instruments of David. Psalm 61 and Psalm 64 share the same opening words. Hear my cry, O God, 61:1, 64:1, which suggests that Psalms 61 through 64 are a subcollection of psalms within the Psalter. Interestingly, Psalms 62 and 63 reflect a special connection within this subcollection as well. Notice the connection as Psalm 62 opens with, "For God alone my soul waits in silence." 62:1, and Psalm 63 opens with, "O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you," 63:1. A longing focus upon the Lord dominates this collection. Psalm 61 shares some common links with Psalm 60. Both are oriented around the safety that the Lord provides, 64:12, 61:3. Both emphasize that God's people rightly fear him, 64:61-5. Psalm 61 begins with a prayer from a faint heart, 61:1-4, and concludes with a prayer from a confident heart, 61:5-8. Psalm 61 opens with a strong plea. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. 61:1. The word cry conveys the intensity of David's distress. While we are unsure of the particulars, we can understand that David is in a dangerously difficult situation. David is specifically expressing that he needs the Lord to hear him. An important conviction about prayer is not so much that we need to say something, as much as we need the Lord to hear us. Prayer is not merely a religious duty to perform. It is a special gift that provides us access to God himself. And David unfolds a bit of his situation that he needs to tell the Lord about. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. 61:2. David is pleading with the Lord from the end of the earth. I would suggest that David is stating that he is somewhere far away from Jerusalem and the Ark. However, the emphasis is not so much on the geographical distance of his physical location. No, David is emphasizing that terrible spiritual struggle that his distance from the public place of worship is compounding. David's heart is faint. David is wearied by his situation. David is most likely communicating that he is physically worn out, but it is even more probable that he is spiritually spent. Perhaps David's distress had gradually turned into despair that had left him sad and empty. And yet the Lord gave David the awareness that he hears the prayers from the furthest away locations, even by the faintest of hearts. David's faint-hearted plea expressed a bold request. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. 61:2. Lead me is direct. David is explicitly calling on the Lord to lead him out of his situation and the stresses of his situation. But David is only instructing the Lord to do what the Lord himself has promised David he would do. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. See Psalm 23:2-3. David is simply acknowledging that the Lord is my shepherd. See Psalm 23:1. And David's bold approach expresses a big request. To the rock that is higher than I. David is asking for the Lord to get him to a secure place of safety that is far above the difficult danger, beyond the continued threats that torment him. But the notion of a rock is not just a place of safety and security, for just as the Lord provided Israel with water from a rock, see Exodus 17:6, strengthening sustenance is also linked to a rock. David is asking the Lord to lead him to himself. David asks the big request because of how he has seen the Lord work in his life up to this point. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. 61:3. David had always found the Lord to be a place of safety and a tower of strength in the face of his enemies. The prayers that we offer to the Lord profoundly reveal our understanding of the Lord. We will ask a God who we have always seen use his power to protect us in our past threats, to protect us amid our present threats. Such awareness directs David to not only ask for the Lord's help once again, but also to deeply long to be close to such a God. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Selah. 61:4. David is not merely desiring God's protection. He is desiring God's presence. As Psalm 61 continues, David invokes the vows that he has made to the Lord. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. 61:5. Vows are commitments that a worshiper makes to the Lord. Vows are often made in response to the way the Lord shows his kind blessings. Vows were pledges of special devotion and obedience to the Lord. While the Lord does not require vows to be made, he does require vows that are made to be kept. In this particular situation, David has made vows to the Lord because of, and perhaps even for the sake of, what the Lord has provided for him. The word heritage refers especially to the inheritance that the Lord gave to Israel when they conquered the promised land. The Lord allocated each tribe their heritage or ancestral lands. Thus, David is saying that the Lord has given him as king possession of the land for the benefit of the people. The Lord has entrusted something to David. Therefore, David knows that something bigger than himself is in play. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." See Psalm 2, 7 through 8. Underscoring the notion that David is aware that something bigger than himself is in play, he switches to the third person in the next two verses. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. 61:6-7. David is praying. He is the king. And yet he prays for the king. Perhaps David is not simply praying for himself. As David asks for the king's years to endure to all generations, as well as the request for the king to be enthroned forever before God, David has someone else on his mind. It seems that what David has on his mind is what the Lord promised to him about one of his descendants. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. See 2 Samuel 7, 12-13. For the sake of David's seed, David appeals to the Lord to deal with his seed in steadfast love and faithfulness. David has already confessed that these fundamental qualities of the Lord have prolonged his life. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. See Psalm 40:11. And now David prays this for his descendant, the future king from the line of David. David, confident that the Lord will do for the future king what he is doing for the present king, David restates his vows. So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. 61:8. David will continue to praise the Lord, vowing to praise him all his days. As we reflect on Psalm 61, we can consider Christ as the rock that is higher than I. The imagery about a rock deployed throughout the Psalter, as well as the rest of the Old Testament, ultimately points to Christ. The rock was Christ. See 1 Corinthians 10:4. The ideals captured by the imagery of a rock, that is, notions of safety and security, as well as strengthening sustenance, all culminate in understanding who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is to his people. Christ is the rock that is higher than I. And the Spirit of God is the active and ongoing agent who leads me to the rock that is higher than I. One of the challenges of reaching the rock that is higher than I is that it is beyond our attainment. But one of the joyous blessings of belonging to Jesus is the indwelling Spirit of God who is ever leading us to Jesus. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See Romans 8:14. It is the Spirit who initially leads us to Jesus. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. See 1 Corinthians 12:3. And it is the Spirit who continually leads us to Jesus. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? See Galatians 3:3. The same Spirit of God continually leads us to Christ through his ongoing stirring in our hearts. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See Galatians 4:6. And these operations of the Spirit leads us to Christ, who is our strength, our sustenance, our safety, and our security. That's all for Embrace the Word for Monday, May 11, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Wednesday, May 13, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 62.